new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're rocking with us, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're checking us out on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can get alerted of all our great content right away. While you're at it, hit us with a like and a comment as well. Now, Pat P, man, let's get to our show. First quarter, it's time for the check-in. An intense matchup, Sunday night football. But before we get into the ball game, let's check out our guy, Pat P. Quick rehab update for the listeners and the viewers and the Viking fans and the NFL fans who are missing you in action, not seeing you in action right now. Tell us a little bit how you feel, how the progress is going right now with your hamstring.
Everything's going along pretty smoothly, Mac. You know, just taking it a day at a time, getting that good treatment on the old hammy, making sure that it's ready to go once the number is called again, you know. So, you know, everything is looking good for me to be on schedule, you know, so minus and hopefully no setbacks occur here in the next couple of weeks, you know. So just taking it a day at a time. I can finally sit down comfortably now. I can tie my shoes with no stress now. So it's coming along.
Progress. Yeah, I remember when you first, you know, injured your hamstring, you couldn't sit down well. We were trying to record. Man, he was moving like he was 88 years old.
Right.
Down and getting up. And also, too, one thing that I saw from yesterday, you had some TV time during the Sunday night game walking on the sideline. I said, man, Pat, people walking around pretty good. Look like you're walking without a limp. You know what I mean? Look like you was kind of moving around pretty good. So that is definitely exciting to see. And I know you're hopeful because I know you're ready to get back out there with the guys. Oh, yeah. And put back on the helmet and the number 7. So keep everybody posted. You know, of course, you know, we had a lot of positive comments in last week's show, you know, with Adam Thielen. If you guys missed that, it's in our feed. Make sure you check it out. And remember, Adam did give us an insight. He had a new touchdown dance.
He did give us a dance.
Yeah. He showcased it against the Cowboys.
He said he would,
and he did it. He did it. But, yeah, man, everybody was definitely, you know, hoping the best for you when it comes to rehabbing. So the Viking fans are missing you. They need you back out there. So just do everything accordingly. So right now, schedule-wise, you know, you had the bye week, which was 1 week, and you're scheduled to miss 3 games. So that's basically a full month if everything goes accordingly. So now you have 2 more games. Like you said, right. hoping no setbacks or anything like that, everything continuing to progress in the right direction, we should see you in the next 2 games. After the next 2 games.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, let's now transition to some information, some news. Well, it's not news, but, you know, conversations that might not be as exciting as hearing Pat P's feeling pretty good. The Cowboys Minnesota Vikings recap. Entertaining ball game. Sunday night is always a big deal. You're on a national stage. I can tell you this much, man. They did a great job in like the intro of the game. You got a chance to see. I don't know what bridge that is, but leading into the city where the stadium is, and the stadium was all purple. Mm-hmm. That's a real dope view. Just going into where the stadium is, you see the stadium, the purple coming off the top of the roof. But the Vikings lost 20-16. Eric got to check up what my prediction was. I know I was
23-26.
We got a 6 in there, but we ain't got a 3 in there. 23-26 was my prediction. You know, for the first time being on the sideline and not being able to play Pat P, what was the feeling like for you, and how did you try to stay engaged in the ball game?
Oh, I was engaged.
I saw you had the earpiece. What's the earpiece about? Like you hearing what the play call is?
Yeah, just hearing what the play call is and just going through my if I was in the game, you know, so getting the call. You know, if I was Cam, you know, going through my checklist, basically. They give me 2x2, I'm thinking of these routes. you know, now, obviously now I got to figure out what coverage we in. Now I got to understand what my health is, you know, knowing, mm-hmm. understanding where I need to be successful in this defense. And like I said, you know, formation recognition, 3-by-1s, if they coming out in ace, understanding ace pass sets, mm-hmm. understand what they like to do in 3-by-1 kings, understand what they like to do and spread. And that's kind of like my checklist. And now that it's time for me to get ready to play ball. And that's the same thing I was doing on the sideline as well. So gotcha. I'm definitely engaged.
Yeah, look like a little mini coach out there with the earpiece on with your ball cap, man, cap. And for y'all listeners, for the listeners and viewers that are hearing us and checking us out, we appreciate you guys, you know, every episode. But you heard Pat P talk about ace. You heard Pat P talk about kings. Formational speaking, offensively, we refer to formations as cards. Now, some teams might utilize numbers. You know what I mean? In college at Florida State, we utilize numbers, and it would be 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 10 personnel.
22,
yeah. Yeah, 22 personnel, right? So that's the personnel that the offense comes out on the football field. NFL-wise, a lot of organizations, a lot of defenses, they refer to the personnel as cards. So if you come out in a flush set, right? Flush set is the same as a 10 personnel. 10 mm-hmm. personnel basically is one back, zero tight ends.
Yep.
So when it comes to the number system, the first number is always the running back. The second number is always the tight end. So if it was 11 personnel, you have one back, one tight end. But when it comes to utilizing cards, flush, which is not an actual card, but it's a part of a card game, it would be 10 personnel, right? Ace would be 12 personnel. Mm-hmm. So ace would be 12 personnel. Ace would be two tight ends, one running back. So when you guys hearing Pat refer to personnel-wise, checking the formation, they come out flush, they come out in ace, they come out in kings, you know what I mean? They come out in queens. That's football talk for us right now. So we just kind of educating you guys. Anytime you watch television, you watch a football show, you watch a football segment, if you hear a player or a former player refer to offensive formations as kings personnel, flush personnel, ace personnel, queens personnel, you guys kind of know what we're talking about, right? So that's what he was saying. I know some people might be like, what do you mean? So we try to educate as much as possible on this show. I feel like anytime you got an opportunity to learn, you understand and you watch it better. You know what I mean? So I know my mom watched football just as much as I do now. She know the game a lot more than what she did before I started playing. And being able to understand certain things makes her feel better when she watched the game. Like, oh, yeah, I heard him say such and such. I know what Kings is. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's an amazing feeling. Watching the game with your mom, and she'd be like, oh, they ain't Kings personnel. What? where you get that from? Yeah, so that's what Pat P was referring to. I love hearing that.
Though,
Pat
P. Tina, man.
No question. I love hearing that because I saw you walk on the sideline. Pat P got a little earpiece. I didn't know. You know, you were actually involved in hearing what was coming from the sideline to the players. So that's real good to be involved in the game. And you're never losing the mental aspect from the sideline. Heading into the ball game for Sunday night, personally, did you think Dak Prescott would play? And what was your reaction when you heard he wasn't going to play?
I didn't think he was going to play initially, you know, hearing.
I didn't either.
Yeah, hearing the injury and obviously knowing how important and valuable he is to that team. And, you know, they're right now, I think they're still in a pretty good position in their division. You know, get him. They came off a bye week. So, you know, give him an extra week to heal up and get ready for the stretch that they are preparing for to finish off their season. So it wasn't shocking to me, you know, but at the same time, you as a team, as an opposing team, you don't want to get caught up in that because, you know, coach made a great point. You know, we can't care about who plays because at the same time you get caught up in that, then you kind of relax. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, all right, we probably to play against with Cooper Rush. And, you know, we never saw him on tape. You know, I mean, had a pretty good night. But, you know, you kind of get that mindset, you know, you can kind of go lackadaisical or whatever. But as a team, we got to build that mindset of, all right, we definitely got to go kill now. Not saying that happened, but that's something that, you know, we got to be able to build as a team. But I wasn't shocked or surprised hearing the news that he wasn't going to play.
Yeah, I wasn't either. You remember last week's episode, you know, getting ready for that Sunday night game against the Cowboys, I said, I don't expect to see him play. Because he had a significant limp the last time we saw them against the Patriots. And Vegas also, you know, kind of was giving indications of what was going to happen because the line switched dramatically. Initially, the Cowboys were a 2.5-point favorite. And then during the week of, before Sunday night's game, you guys became the favorite. You know what I mean? So clearly they knew something, and Vegas always knows something when it comes to gambling. And that was the first indicator that he wouldn't potentially play based on the lines, seeing the movement in the lines. Cooper Rush, you're talking about his first start, 25 of 40, 325, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, basically benefited on huge plays, splash-like plays. We saw a long touchdown reception to Cedric Wilson. I played with Cedric Wilson's dad in Pittsburgh. Ced Wilson went to Tennessee. Huge touchdown reception in the cover two standpoint. Looked like the safeties got a little too wide, left the middle of the football field wide open. We also saw a few chunk plays to Amari Cooper. But looking at defensively, you know, what were some things that could have been done better? You know what I mean? And you guys were able to put some pressure, because think about this. The score was 20-16. Seemed like forever it was 10-10. For a long, long time. And the splash plays kind of happened, especially in the fourth quarter. But, you know, there were a few plays that were left on the football field. From your viewpoint on the sideline, you know, what did you notice, you know, as far as, you know, being able to do some things differently that probably would have put you guys in a better position to win the ball game?
I think just overall, just playing more together at the same time, you know. And when I say that, here's the meaning. Like, you know, if we're playing cover two, you know, play your responsibility to your best ability so you don't put stress on other positions in the secondary or in the linebacker position. As far as if you got cover two, you're supposed to force the receiver
inside.
You know what I mean? Because if you force them outside, that puts stress on the safety. Force them to get on their landmark, and now they have to get even wider because now they're kind of threatened. You know what I mean? Not having the ability. And that's where, you know, defense is so beautiful, because in football at the same time, because it's really a team game, and everybody have to do their job at the best of their ability. You know what I mean? Even in man-to-man coverage, you know, if you're in man-to-man coverage, you got to be inside, stay inside. You know, and cover three, same thing. The main thing in cover three, what you want to do, Matt, funnel everything to the who?
To the safety.
So you want to be, you know, low hip outside to force everything to your help. So, and the same thing, vice versa, when it comes to, you know, spilling blocks, hammering blocks, you know, crashing the yo-yo motions, you know, things like that, you know. So, you know, it just all comes down to everybody being on the same page and everybody doing their job on that particular play at the best of their ability.
You know, one thing that used to help us out a lot in Pittsburgh, like Thursday would be our extended day, to say the least, when it comes to watching tape. So, of course, you have our normal work schedule, you know, on the watching tape before practice, and then we practice. And after practice, we get off the field around 3 o'clock. So we probably devoted, let's say, around 4:30. We'll order food in, right? We'll order like something. We have catered food from one of the closest restaurants to the facility. And 4:30, we're devoted at least an hour to watch tape together. So it would be the secondary guys and the second level guys, linebackers, and we ran 3-4. So, you know, we had outside linebackers and, of course, inside backers. So what we do, Pat P, let's say we're getting ready for the Baltimore Ravens, right? We would go over third down situations, red zone, and a few critical in between the 20 like plays that they ran. What we would do is get a play call, right, from the sideline. Quote unquote, we all in the meeting room together. So let's say it's tight. It's like tight will me two busters, something like that. Now, as a corner, we come out, we see the formation coming out on tape. We all watch tape together. So now I'm talking to the safety. Hey, RC, tight split. Watch the under. We're communicating. Right. Or I tell Debo, James Harrison, hey, watch the crack. I got you if he come. So now we're literally talking like how we would be talking on Sunday. And when we started doing that, man, we just took off. Like everything that we were seeing on Thursday that we were watching and verbally communicating with, it transitioned to the football field on Sunday. And then we were already on the same page because we played together, you know, for so many years. But the continuity just went to a whole nother level. You know what I mean? And that's something you guys, and then what we do is, like I said, you know, we eat, we fraternize, but we study. So now the inside linebackers are communicating. They hear us talking. Hey, and we're seeing everything visually, and we just communicating. Being transparent on the football field, especially defensively, is so important. Mm-hmm. So important. Like, prime example, you know, you see on this situation, ARC, he got a tight split. He liked that curl. So be mindful. If I get that curl, lean to my side, I'm gone. Yeah. So they curl and go me. I'm going to need you to be there. Just let me know if you can't be there. Now I'm going to play honest. You know what I'm saying? Right. Or if you see Debo or Lamar Whitley, hey, they getting pressure. Hey, man, how you feeling? Can I get ready to squat on something? Mm-hmm. I got it. I got you. Yeah. When I hit my hip, you know what time it is. I got you. Let's go. Yeah. I'm squatting, but you better get there. RC, I'm squatting, so just be over the top. But that's how it flows. You know what I mean? Just being able to communicate. And it's funny you talked about just being on the same page. You know what I mean? Those are things that we were able to do to help us elevate to be a top tier like defense. The losing is already very, very difficult to lose. But the way you guys lost, and you look at some of the more devastating loss, close losses, you know, how damaging was Sunday's loss, you know, when it comes to playoff hopes, in your opinion?
You know, it would be cliche to be like, you know, we still got time. But the truth of the matter is we don't have much time left. You know, we got to get this thing right and turn it around now. You know, we played 7 games. So we got 11 games left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we got 11 games.
17 game season.
Yeah. So we got 11 game season, man, to really
10 dig left. Down we got
deep.
10 left.
Well, 10 game season. I'm sorry. 10 game season to really dig down deep and, you know, really dissect ourselves and really ask ourselves how bad do we want it, you know,
because
we got the talent, you know, we got everything that we need to compete, you know, but it's coming down to those, I won't call them little things because they're so big, but they are little because, I won't necessarily call them little, but we have to find a way to clean up, you know, the mistakes that we're making, you know, in all phases of the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So making sure we're on the same page on, you know, offense, defense, special teams, you know, that comes with, you know, with everything that contribute into winning ball games, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, that hurt, that loss last night definitely hurt a little bit, you know what I mean? But we still just have just enough time to still go where we want to go. You know what I mean? I think we rank 8th right now in the NFC. So
yeah, and remember the top seven get in.
So it's still time, you know what I mean. But we got to get it turned around pretty quickly.
You got to, and you still have time. But you don't want to have to scoreboard watch at the end of the season needing help to get in. You want to control your own destiny. You know, Cam Dantzler filled in for you this past Sunday night. You know, how would you evaluate Cam's performance from what you saw? You know, Sunday night against the Cowboys.
Well, I thought Cam made some plays. You know, I think of some plays out there that he wish he could have made as well. You know, I thought he played solid. I thought he played within himself. I thought he was extremely focused throughout the game. I thought he tackled well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I just thought he had an all-around game. It's just a couple of things that, you know, we have to clean up, especially down in the red zone. Like I told him, I thought he was a little bit too deep. You know, it gave Amari an opportunity to really dissect what's going on. And, you know, and it was like, I think that was at the 5-yard line. And, you know, our whole deal when you're in the red zone, especially in that situation, you want to split the difference. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's the reason why you want to split the difference, because you want to get your hands on the receiver as quick as possible to have him more worried about you and give you a better opportunity to wash him away from the spot where the quarterback is throwing the ball.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? So I think, you know, just a couple small technical things that we can clean up. Hopefully we can clean those up this week and he can have even a better game come Sunday. And that's just the life of a DB, man. You know, like I say, you can make plays all game. Give up that one touchdown at the end of the game. That cost it.
No question.
You know, nobody else remember, you know, what happened throughout the course of the game. So,
yes, sir. That's why y'all got to be on alert.
Yeah, that's what I tell them. We're the bad guys to the offense and the other guys. I don't want to say the name because I don't want to get fined. Mm-hmm. But and also the bad guys, the bad guys to the, to the world as well. You know what I mean?
Sometimes,
you can be good one day, but if you give up that one play that, costs something,
yeah,
you won't be looked at different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought he had that interception. That'd have been huge. He couldn't get his hands underneath.
Yeah, I did too, man. Yeah. I did. That would have been big, man.
That'd have been a big play. We normally highlight cornerbacks, of course, but we got to highlight Xavier Woods. I mean, you've been high on Xavier since, signing with the Vikings and being on the grass and seeing everybody. Mm-hmm. 8 tackles, an interception, a sack on Sunday. Played against his former team, the Dallas Cowboys, man. Yeah. But, how special was he this past Sunday night against the Cowboys?
Man, it's been solid all year, but this right here, I think was a breakout game, for the season for him. To have a really all around solid performance like that, I knew that game meant a lot for him and to him. Wish he was able to get the dub for him, but unfortunately he wasn't. But he played lights out. Mm-hmm. he took it to another level when the lights came on. Daddy Smooth came out. He came out to party, man. And,
he did. He played well, played hard.
And then, like I said, he always played hard. He always going to be around the ball. He always going to make sound tackles. He always going to be doing his responsibility 100%. It was just, I don't know. He saw that star and them lights was bright.
Yeah.
Wolverine came out, goddammit.
Yes, sir. Well, keep it coming. X, keep it coming. You got another big one this upcoming Sunday, so make sure you keep it coming. Outside of the loss, man, and some bad news coming from the defense, Daniil Hunter is out for the season with a pec injury. What type of blow is that? Man, I know what type of blow it is, but can you elaborate on what he means to the defense?
That's a big blow, man. Having one of the league's top pass rushers, not in the lineup is huge. That accounts for at least a couple seconds, a tenth of a second, that the quarterback may have that he don't usually have with Daniil in the lineup. But you know how it is, Matt. In this business, you never know what's going to happen. You have to be ready. You have to be prepared for the unknown. You know what I mean? You have to be prepared for the unknown because you never know what's going to happen throughout the course of a 18-week season.
Yeah. 18 weeks, 17 games.
Yeah. So, you just have to always, man, I pray that the Lord can just keep his hands on us, cover us in his blood just as long as possible, man, because we know you're going to deal with injuries and you just hope that you don't deal with any significant injuries to where you're losing guys for the season.
Yeah.
It just makes it that much difficult to really go out there and, be able to call what you, want to call.
Yeah, he had 6 sacks through 7 games, man. Yeah. An elite-like pass rusher. His presence will be missed, and hopefully guys can come together. On a bright note, Everson Griffin has really been playing pretty good football. I mean? He's been able to provide a spark. You're going to need more than Everson, though. It's going to be an all-hands-on-deck mentality, knowing that Daniil won't be in the lineup for the rest of the season.
100%.
Now it's time for the Ravens preview. That's the next ball game for the Minnesota Vikings. Every week is going to be a big-time challenge. You have a playoff-caliber team, a team that has championship aspirations, a team that has an electrifying, probably the most electrifying player at the quarterback position in Lamar Jackson. On one of our previous episodes, you said you'd much rather game plan for Tom Brady than Lamar Jackson. Well, Pat P, Coach P, how do you plan to game plan for Lamar?
Man, you know what I'm going to do? Well, this is my game plan. I gotta send one of the equipment guys over to the Ravens locker room. Somehow, get in there somehow, some way, the night before, Saturday night, get into the stadium, sneak into one of the vents or something, and find Lamar Action Jackson's locker. Find his locker and just take all the shoes. The man might still go out there and
barefoot.
Make it happen with no cleats.
No question.
But go out there and just take all the spikes off his shoes or something. That'd be my game plan. Send one of the equipment guys in there and go take his shoes, man. But no, Seriously though, but Lamar is he's special, man. He's one of a kind to game plan for now that, you know, he's getting better with throwing the ball, finding all type of receivers. You know, everybody's involved in that offense, you know, and they're running and they have everything available, you know, mm-hmm. from RPOs, read options to, you know, to spread offense, you know, to hippo sets, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
they have it all. So my hands are definitely full going in there trying to defend Action Jackson and the Ravens.
And, you know, Baltimore, they don't have a traditional number one like wide receiver. The best pass catcher is tight end Mark Andrews coming from Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma. But they don't have a traditional number one. So how do you plan, you know, how do you treat their offense? And when you look at the threats at wide receivers, you know, how is there certain things you guys do in this situation where they don't have a legit number one, but they got some guys that can do some damage if you allow them to?
Man, honestly, man, we just can't give up the long ball.
Yes, the splash plays. Keep everything in front of you.
Yeah, teams don't want to be able to throw outs, comebacks, slants all the way down the field. They're not patient enough to do that.
Hey, real quick, I don't want to cut you off, but one quick story. The great, the legendary Dick LeBeau, arguably the best coach, defensive coach I've been around. Well, I've been around Mickey Andrews as well, so I've been in football heaven. So I'm not going to say who's the best, but very, very instinctive, and he's a Hall of Famer, right? He told us one time, Pat P, he said, you got to understand something about offenses and offensive coordinators. They're egocentric. They have to feed their ego. So if you make them go the length of the football field, they don't want to do that for four quarters. If you're giving them comebacks, outs, stop routes, it's okay. They're converting third downs. They're moving, but they eventually want to take shots. That's just how they are. Mm-hmm. But if you force them to go the length of the football field, they're going to give you a play that you can make. You just got to make it. And that's something that I thought about while you were just talking, saying make them go the length of the football field. Because even if they can drive, think about this, listeners and viewers. For all our fans, everybody that's checking us out on this episode right now, how many times have you watched a football game, college or NFL? First and 10, they run the ball, get 6 yards. What do they do on second down? Throw. Why? It's second and 4. If you just ran the ball on first down for 6 yards, why don't you run the ball on second down and see if you can get another 5 or 6 yards? That's instantly a first down. But they throw on second and 4, incomplete. Now you're throwing on the now you basically got to throw. It's an obvious third down situation. It's the same thing. So for us in Pittsburgh, we used to play to do what they didn't want. We used to play to make them do what they didn't want to do. Right. And Coach LeBoy, listen, they're going to take a shot. Go ahead. If they want, because we felt like there was an offense that was good enough to drive the length of the football field on us for four quarters. So you know what? If you all want to get these little 5 yard stops, these comebacks, go ahead. But listen, they're going to hit you with a double move. I need you to be where you're supposed to be. That is the weakness of our defense right now. If I tell you to play inside leverage, guess what? The weakness is probably going to give up a comeback outside, an out route. It happens. Just tackle the catch. Yep. But let's see if they want to do it the length of the football field. And like you just said, they don't want to do it. You see that time and time again. And if you guys can factor that in, Pat B, I mean, I was watching Michigan State against Michigan this Saturday. I was watching because I had them in my parlay. I had Michigan plus 4, right? I had them in my parlay. Kenneth Walker, the running back for Michigan State, he should have had 400 yards against Michigan. He only had 20-something carries for 175, something like that. He run the ball.
Full touchdown, right?
Yeah, he had five touchdowns. Pat Pete, he run the ball on first down, got 8 yards. It's second and 2. Why are you throwing the ball on second and 2? You got one of the best backs in the country. Why are you throwing? Offensive coordinators, if I'm lying, I'm flying. Listeners and viewers, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. How many times you watch a game, first down, they get 5, 6 yards. Oh, third down, second down, they're going to throw. It doesn't make any sense. But go ahead, Pat. You got me fired up. I was just, you know, that's just how it is.
Oh, well, yeah, just to, you know, conclude it, you have to make them go to length of the football field because slants, like I was talking about, slants, comebacks, curls, as long as we tackle the catch, that's not going to beat us, you know. So we just have to make sure we're able to do that and just play our assignments, you know, not necessarily more so worried about what they can do or what they're going to do. Like you said, every defense have a weakness, but at the same time, if you play your assignment and be where you're supposed to be, 9 times out of 10, we're going to get out of that down, you know, because you got to think the pass rush is going to get there. Those guys getting their hands up, forcing the quarterback to get off his spot. The next thing you know, you can make a play because guess what? You're where you're supposed to be.
Yes. Just be where you're supposed to be. It's going to happen. They're going to try you. You know what I mean? Just be patient. Just play within the game, man. And that has been something that needs to improve. You talk just splash plays. If you make teams drive the length of the football field and bunker down and play elbow defense, bend but don't break, and force them to kick field goals, you're going to win more than you're going to lose.
Yeah.
That's just the name of the game. Yeah. Name it. Defensively, real quick, with the Baltimore Ravens, they got a top-tier level player in the secondary, Marlon Humphrey, one of the highest-paid cornerbacks in the game. You know, from Alabama, you know what I mean, wearing a number 44. You don't see too many DBs rock 44. You know, but you got to have some guts and know your game is A1 and rock 44. But what do you appreciate about Marlon Humphrey's game?
I appreciate Marlon's grit, you know, the way he approached the game, you know, his understanding of the game, just and his the way he competes. You know, he competes every Sunday. He wants that action every Sunday, and he's able to play, you know, multiple positions on the field, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so he has a really, really sharp game. Been a fan of his game ever since, you know, he hopped on the scene, you know. So he's doing a lot of great things throughout his career, you know, praying that he can keep that up and, you know, continue to cement his name and with some great company.
Okay. And finally, you kind of hit on this defensively when it comes to improving and trying to get a victory. But what are the keys to a victory overall team-wise, you know, offensively?
Yeah, overall team-wise, obviously you got to start fast in order to finish. You know, we got to start fast as a team, finish. On the road, we got to play with great special teams by flipping the field, making field goals, maybe creating a turnover on special teams will be huge. Offense, you know, converting on third down, scoring in the red zone, you know, finding and getting that running game going. I think that's what will allow everything else to open up. You know, so for me, I'm thinking I want to see at least 120 on the ground.
I'm trying to figure defense. I thought we were going to see Cookie Monster. I thought we were going to see.
And I did too, man.
Man, get the man the ball.
Give him the ball.
Get the man the ball. Give 33 the ball.
Yeah. On defense, no splash plays. You can't give up any plays over 20. I believe in this game, we have to be able to keep Lamar off the field. And by me saying that, I believe we have to force at least 5 3-and-outs.
Mm-hmm.
At least 5 3-and-outs to keep him off the field and be able to give our offense the ball back quick as possible. And lastly, you know, I know this is a tough, you know, ask, and everybody's been trying to do it over the last 5 years. But, you know, minimize the splash plays from Lamar as well, you know, on the ground.
Yeah.
So I know, obviously, you know, those are a lot of wishes there. But I believe if we're able to do that, you know, we'll have a good opportunity to win it.
Okay. Well, here go my prediction. Here go my prediction. I'm siding like in the – my total is looking like it's going to hit the under. I don't know what the over-under is yet for this game. I'm going to go ahead and check that. Eric, see if you can find the over-under for this game. My total
– has been growing this water melon for 5 months.
Oh, that ain't the total under. 24-23 in favor of the Minnesota Vikings. A total of 47 points. I don't know what the total is, but 23-24 Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota would then – they would be – you guys would be 4-4, right?
Yeah.
You're 3-4 right now. You'd be 4-4 then. 500, basically at the midway point. 24-23 Minnesota Vikings. Let's go. Skol check in. Go get it. There are a lot of ways to get fit and stay fit that don't always involve super strict diets, two-a-days at the gym, or these weird teas they have out now. That may work for some, but definitely not for everyone. So instead of trying to cram your life into someone else's ideal of health, try Noom. Noom uses a psychology-based approach to find a healthier balance for your life. I told you guys, I started using Noom a few months ago. You see the results. And since then, I've seen a difference in my understanding of food. I shop differently, which means I eat differently. I'm not on a path to lose weight, but I'm on a path to have more energy and feel less stressed. And Noom has helped me in those categories. I have more energy to stay up late for Monday and Thursday night football and wake up super early in the morning to take my kids to school. Take it from me. I don't need rules. Just the knowledge and the wisdom to empower you to build smarter, more sustainable habits. And trust me, I can still cheat from time to time because I don't have to worry about ruining the whole program with one day off. Noom helps me get back on track with just one 10-minute daily check-in. So start building better habits for your healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at noom.com/ATC. That's noom.com/ATC to start your trial today. Now it's time for Around the League. Here's where we tap into news throughout the NFL. Big time news just dropped today. Von Miller traded to the Los Angeles Rams. Pat P, what was your reaction? I mean, should we hit you with a has Pat heard? Because I don't know if you
heard. I heard this.
Yeah.
As soon as when I saw it, all I could think was Hollywood. Hollywood swinging.
Boy, out there, Los Angeles. Von Miller traded to the Rams.
Hey,
the Broncos basically trying to blow it up.
The Rams are the new LA Lakers, boy.
Yeah. And they say he going to play Sunday against the Tennessee Titans without King Henry. So
the Rams are the new LA Lakers, boy. They get all superstars from everywhere. They're giving away all draft picks. Don't care what the contract is. Yep. We want them. We trying to win a Super Bowl here in La La Land, man.
And it's there in Los Angeles. So fine stadium.
You got Matthew Stafford playing lights out. You added another bona fide quarterback go-getter.
Yeah, and you already got Aaron Donald, you got Leonard Floyd. The only issue with the Rams, they got to do a better job in stopping the run. But heck, if they get a lead,
man, listen,
who cares about the run?
They get
they get a lead.
Some boys score 38 points a game, man. At some point, they're gonna stop somebody and have a 10-point lead and force the team to throw the ball. Come on, Mac.
that's just like
the Kansas City Chiefs were. Mm-hmm. You know, they couldn't stop the run, but
they get a lead.
Pat Mahomes, boy, he going to put up 40 a game.
And the way how the Rams doing right now, Lord have mercy, yeah? But Von Miller trade to the Rams, that was the biggest news, man. I think, of today.
Mac, I saw that, man. All I could do is laugh. That's exactly what I said, Mac. I ain't lying. I said, Hollywood is swinging, boy.
They trying to buy a championship by any means necessary. I'm not mad at them.
Me either. That's the name of the game.
No question.
If you got it, why not go get it? If the draft picks don't mean nothing to you, don't mean nothing.
I don't even know what they gave up. That's the thing.
They gave up a second and a third. That has to be Mac heard.
Wow, I hadn't heard that. They gave up a second and a third. That's a nice win for Denver because they wasn't going to sign them back. And Vaughn is not going to help them get to the playoffs. Hmm. So that's a good move for both teams, in my opinion. And one thing about the Rams, they don't value draft picks.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They're giving them away. No question. Let's go back to you. So Denver is paying $9 million of his remaining $9.7 million this year. So Denver ate half of his salary, but they also get draft picks in return. And the Rams are only responsible for 9.7 of his deal for the rest of the year. Let's go to the state of the 2011 draft class, your draft class. After this deal, now just one of the top 10 picks are still playing for the team that drafted them. Cam Newton, of course, not with the Panthers. Vaughn, Marcel Darius, AJ Green, Pat, Julio, Alden Smith, Jake Locker, Tyron Smith is the only one who's still with his team, and he's with the Cowboys. Cam Jordan. Also, Mark Ingram went back to New Orleans. Jimmy Smith with the team that drafted. Boy, that was a nice class, though. Let me see. Hall of Famer. All right. Von Miller, Hall of Fame. A.J. Green, Hall of Fame. Peterson, Hall of Fame. Julio Jones, Hall of Fame. Boy, if Alden Smith would have kept his head clean, Lord have mercy. Cam Jordan, Hall of Fame. I think Tyron Smith, Hall of Fame. Ain't JJ in that draft too?
Yeah, JJ, Richard JJ, Sherman.
Herman Hall of Fame. Yeah, Jay.
I think
Cam. Cam should get in the hall as well.
Bobby might.
Wagner?
Yeah, he might be a year after me. Check that out.
Yeah, we're gonna check that out. Y'all ain't gonna claim Bobby Wagner.
No, he might be 2012.
Yeah, he ain't in that draft.
I know we're not far off though. I know he's like right up under me, or we're the same age. I know he like year 10, maybe year 11.
Well, it's a lot of all pros.
Yeah, 2012. Camps. So that was y'all.
Yeah, he say.
I'm trying to think what linebackers we had. What linebackers we have.
It was in the middle of the first round. It was some top names too. Because remember, JJ was like outside. He was before the teens. I think he was like 10, 11, 12. Or was he in the teens? Man. Well, yeah, that 2011, it's JJ was 11. I was right. He was 11. Yeah. So big news of the day, Von Miller getting traded to the Rams. Process headed into the trade deadline. When you look at the Vikings, hearing the news with Daniil not being, you know, healthy, he will be on IR. You know, what's the mindset? You guys traded away Steven Weatherly last week to the Broncos because they definitely needed some edge rushing help. Do you think you guys will make a move to try to, you know, solidify this playoff push that you have to make happen, especially knowing, you know, the information and news regarding Hunter?
You know, Mac, I have no idea, you know, but, you know, knowing how competitive the coaches are, knowing how competitive Rick is, I'm sure they'll make some moves before tomorrow's deadline. You know, I'm sure they will.
Mm-hmm. And other news throughout the NFL, I don't know if you heard this, Pat, but literally before the Falcons played the Carolina Panthers, Calvin Ridley announced that he would be taking some time, stepping away from the team, to focus on his mental health. Statement coming from Calvin: these past few weeks have been very, very challenging. And as much as I like to be on the field competing with my teammates, I need to step away from football at this time to focus on my mental well-being. When you heard that news, you know, how surprised were you?
I didn't hear it. Yesterday,
Sunday.
I saw it today.
Gotcha.
You know, but like we talked about, man, you know yourself, and if you feel like you know that was a time for you to step away, for you to deal with whatever you was dealing with, for you to, you know, be more at ease, you know, more kudos to him, you know, more power to him. You know what I mean? It was you commend him for recognizing it, you know. I'm happy that, you know, it's such a big deal now. It's making people more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a couple of years ago, this probably wouldn't have came out. He would have probably toughed it out, whatever the situation he was dealing with, went out there, and Lord forbid, what could have happened?
Yeah.
Because his head wasn't in the game. You know what I mean? So, you know, like I said, more power to him that he was able to identify that, you know, he wasn't, you know, fully focused and in tune with, you know, his responsibility and his duty to his teammates and to his team and to the organization. So he felt it was best for him to step away and furthermore deal with what he, you know, had to deal with, you know. So,
yeah.
Calvin, man, you know, pray that you get the help that you need, brother, and come back stronger than ever.
No doubt. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with some of the best performances of the week, plus 7 questions.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Now it's time for All Things Covered Awards. We're dishing out two awards weekly, and for those that live up to our show name and have all things covered. First and foremost, let's start the defense, right? It's not a particular player, it's the entire unit. The New Orleans Saints had themselves, they had a day, forced three turnovers from Tom Brady, two interceptions, one fumble, and a pick six coming from a former no, P.J. Williams with an outstanding interception to the house to seal the deal against their division foe in the new in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know what it is about
it can't be
Tom Brady. Yeah, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And the New Orleans Saints, he don't play well against New Orleans, especially down there in Louisiana. Yeah.
Hey, so, but hey, if it's the last game of anybody, if it's the last game for you to live, and he was playing the freaking Saints, are you looking to live, or you think you're gonna die? Knowing the record right now that he don't I'm play well down. Against him in the playoffs,
I'm taking in the playoffs.
I mean, I'm not in the playoffs. I'm talking about in the regular season. Regular knowing season. That you don't play well against them in the regular
yeah,
season.
Yeah.
Tom Brady got to play one game against the Saints in the regular season.
You can put your life in,
or you expect to die.
If you, football-wise, if you can put your life in anybody's hand, I think you should put it in Tom's hand.
Baby Jesus, man.
No question. And you know he's going to be fired up the next time.
And that's all you got to tell him. To. Like, Tom, I'm going to die here. You gonna hit what that face he made when he was down with a minute or something to go against Dallas?
He go get it. That number 12. Yeah, he had a
man,
bad.
Tom moment. Gonna make it hurt when it counts, man. I'm telling you, man.
That's the man. It's gonna sting too. Cause you see them boy were talking trash. They Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
He just tallied it all up. Cause they did the same thing last year.
They celebrated. They danced bad.
And Tom came in there and put up 40 on them.
In the playoffs, send them home. Like you said, it's gonna hurt, boy. That thing gonna sting when it happened, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be if they meet up in the playoff again, it's gonna be bigger than the game than it was last year.
And also to remember, if they meet up again in the play, well, they gonna see each other again before the season over.
Yeah.
Jameis, you know, a friend of the show, we had him on the show last year. Won't be playing because he tore his ACL. So let's see what they can do without their starting quarterback in Jameis Winston. Offensively. Man, when I tell you this game spoiled a parlay for me, the Jets.
Well, they beat Cincinnati?
Not only did they beat Cincinnati, they covered the money line. And because of that, we got to give our offensive award to rookie Mike White.
Mm.
You probably never heard of Mike White before. Anyway.
Nah, but I did. When I did, I was flipping through the game standings because I was chilling. Before I went to the game, I saw number five. I saw the Jets had re-signed Joe Flacco.
They brought him back. Yeah, they traded him.
So I'm like, damn, man, Joe Flacco looked kind of short out there, man. Because you know,
and Mike White.
Looked taller. I was like, oh, dang, Joe. But he was out
Mike,
there throwing that rock.
Man,
boy.
Mike was letting it go. Man, shout out to Mike White versus the Bengals, 37-45. He threw the ball 45 times for over 400 yards, three touchdowns. He did have two interceptions. And the interceptions happened early in the ball game. That's one thing I like. He didn't lose his confidence.
Yeah,
he bounced back. He's the only player since 1950 with 400 passing yards, three touchdowns in his first career start. It's the most passing yards in Jets history in a player's first career start. It's the first 400-yard passing game by Jets quarterback since Vinny Testaverde in 2000.
21 years.
Wow. And I think Mike was undrafted, or he was a late round selection, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey man, if Mike win the next game, I gotta keep the hot hand in, man.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
Like I know we got a rookie. Yeah. I know we got the rookie and all that.
He's a fifth rounder.
Yeah, I gotta let him rock.
Man,
out.
Just what he did his first start. That who they got this week? They got the Jets got Eric, who the Jets got this week? They got
I think the quarterback's out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, Zach not playing. Mike is playing again, so it don't matter. But the Jets got on Thursday night, national stage. Lord, if they win, if they beat the Colts, number one, I'm not even touching that game gambling-wise. I'm staying away from it. They spoil, man. The Jets ruined so many people parlays this past Sunday. It's pathetic. People right now still drunk, hungover from the Jets winning that ball game, how they won it.
But I just had to think about it too, though, Matt. The Jets, it's only one game, I think, one game that they got really beat really bad.
Yeah, but and they also beat Tennessee. They beat Tennessee at home.
They played competitive. But what the spread was, what, 11 or something like that?
It was something crazy. Digits.
And yeah, I don't see Cincinnati beat nobody double digits, man.
Pat, I just needed Cincinnati to win money line. I didn't want to give no point. Just win.
Yeah.
Just win. Hey, you see, so Eric, our producer, he loves Carson Wentz for whatever reason. He thinks Carson Wentz is the best quarterback in the world ever created. Don't bet against Carson Wentz is what Eric's saying. What? Man, anybody not listening to that? I think Mike White is the better quarterback in the ballgame anyway, Thursday night. How about that, Eric?
Oh, Lord.
I'm just talking. But I'm not touching that game. I'm staying away from it. But like you said, if they win or if he put up numbers again,
I might have to keep him in.
You know, New York, man, you know, the media in New York, they already got their headlines ready. Like quarterback controversy. That's what Gotham needs right now. Let's go, Mike White. You caught our attention. Hey, offensive player, offensive all things covered award goes to Mike White. Thank you for ruining my parlay, Mike White, and New York Football Jets. Thank you. Now it's time for 7 questions. 7 questions is where we get a chance to interact with you, the listeners, and the viewers. If you want your question to be answered in the future, leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we may get to it on the show. All right, this question comes from Tyler Wilhelm on Instagram, on IG. Loudest crowd at a game you ever experienced?
I'm going to have to go with 2009, Florida versus LSU. It was the game that Tim Tebow was coming off of a concussion. They played Kentucky, and he had a real bad concussion. So I'll never forget. We coming on campus. So you know how students are when it comes to like big games, they involved.
Okay.
So I remember them passing around like, you know, signs around the school saying that if you're gonna come to the game, we wanna make this game the next earthquake game. Meaning LSU, I forget who they played, but they said the stadium was so loud that they felt the stadium actually shaking.
Yeah.
So they had the signs going around this, that, and the other. So I'm like, you know, I want it because that was one of the, like, that's the historic game in LSU history. So, you know, we roll around, come out. It was like, this is going to be, because they doing all the broadcasting for as far as the news. They really publicizing, like, this is supposed to be like the loudest game next to the earthquake game.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hell yeah, well, it's going to be live. What, ESPN, Saturday night? You know what I mean? Saturday night football. I mean, Saturday night college football. You know, so we come out there, and I be down. The first drive, Mac, bro, the crowd was so loud, man. My ears was like screeching. And it was to a point in the game in that first quarter, bro. I literally felt like the stadium was shaking.
Wow.
Like, I'm not even joking. Like it was so loud to where, cause you know how loud, like you next to a speaker or something, you hear like,
I hate that noise too. Is it right? Yeah, so.
And when it continues, it's almost like it's vibrating your, I don't know what it's doing, like, but like something in your eyesight. Mm-hmm. So that's how loud it was that my ears are screaking so long and so hard to where like it feel like the stadium was almost in a wave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the craziest experience I've ever had on a football field. And that's the loudest crowd I've ever
played. Did you guys win that game?
No, man, we lost. I think it was like 10-6. It was a close game. It could have been freaking Cooper on Chris Hawkins, man. They threw Tim Tebow up a lollipop, bro. Riley Cooper literally threw down Chris Hawkins. Threw him down.
No flag.
Bro. No PI score because it was in the fourth quarter. It was like 2 minutes ago. Score. It was a close game. I know it was like under 15 points by both. Neither team scored over 15 points. I know that.
13-3 was that score.
Yeah, 13-3.
Yeah, 13.
13-3, yeah. And it was that because if we stop it, I think it was like third down. So at least we give our team a chance, you know, to at least score.
Hey.
Because it was 13, so it was 6-3 at the time.
Yeah. And speaking of LSU, you guys need to start calling Mel Tucker. See if y'all can lure him from East Lansing.
Who y'all gonna call?
We ain't calling nobody. We gonna finish on a good note.
Okay.
We're gonna finish on a good note. You gonna see? For me, I'll say watch what I tell you. We're gonna finish on a good note.
Y'all play hard last week though.
Yeah, we should.
Y'all had an opportunity to win that one.
Yeah, we had multiple opportunities to win that.
Yeah.
Don't start me on that.
I know you ain't watching the game with nobody, so
yeah, I was by myself watching the game.
I know.
Yeah. I just one of them days. Just one of them days. 2008 season playoffs, Pittsburgh, AFC championship game. The final game, not game saving, but game winning interception return for a touchdown by Troy. Heinz Field went to a whole nother level when it came to noise. That right there was like the stadium was moving. Fans were jumping so much. The stadium was moving.
Yeah.
You can kind of you slowly saw the movement in the stands because fans were going crazy. And when he scored that touchdown, not to mention that basically sealed our fate in going to another Super Bowl, but it was against Baltimore. So we played Baltimore three times that year and beat them three times. I don't know if that's ever been done before. It might not ever be done again. But when that happened, Pat B, oh my goodness. Man, they went from, it was already loud, but when he picked that ball up, man, it went to a whole nother level. And that was the loudest stadium I think I go to Gainesville. Florida Stadium is pretty loud.
Yeah, Florida do get loud. I played in there a couple times.
Clemson Stadium is pretty loud. You know, used to be a loud stadium too, the old Orange Bowl where the Hurricanes played at.
Yeah, I've been to a game there, but I never played any game.
Yeah, that used to get super loud. But I'll go Pittsburgh, 2008 playoffs, 2009 playoffs, AFC championship game, loudest for me. So appreciate that question coming from Tyler. Wive home. Thank you again. Make sure you leave a 5-star review attached to your question. We might try to get to it on the show. We want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Make sure you give us a follow as well. Each week, we give clues for our next guest, and the first person to guess correctly gets a follow and a shout out on the pod. Shout out to Matt O'Brien 311 for correctly guessing Adam Thielen. Again, follow us at All Things Covered Pod for the very, very best content from the show.
That is it for this episode. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching. We'll be back Thursday where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Duzable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.